Embody. Welcome to our podcast, where along with my hosts, Elizabeth and Christina, we explore the joys and challenges of homeschooling and of family life. An awareness of beauty and an appreciation for art in all its forms has been an important aspect of our home education. As you know, the last few episodes, we've talked a lot about beauty and art. Years ago, I discovered Catholic Heritage curricula and was first introduced to their art appreciation resources for young kids. They have an art masterpieces series. A desire for a deeper understanding of art led us to CHC's program, Ever Ancient, Ever New. This program is in two parts. Part one of Ever Ancient, Ever New guides us from ancient art forms to the art of the Renaissance. Part two leads us from the art of the High Renaissance through to the modern era. What really drew us to this program was the art appreciation aspect of it and the history aspect of it with a distinctly Catholic perspective. But the program also presents art theory and opportunity for practice with a companion art pad that comes along with it. They give the children projects that they can work on to practice some of the art skills inherent in the program. CHC materials are always steeped in beauty, and this program is visually delightful. For us, it helped us cultivate a sensitivity for beauty and gave us a solid foundation in the eras of art and the characteristics that define them. The lives of artists and cultural influences that affected art are explored in the context of each chapter. One of the really awesome parts of Ever Ancient, Ever New is that it can be used independently from children about grade five and up, or it can be read together as a family. As something we've really valued in our family, this program makes art appreciation something that parents can share with their children without being overwhelmed by the idea of introducing art. Beautiful, it's simple, it's engaging. I will put a link to the program in the show notes. Have a look, and you can also enjoy all of CHC's art programs that they offer for younger kids as well. I am grateful for CHC's support of this podcast. Thank you.
Good afternoon to my listeners, and good afternoon to my guest this afternoon, Allison Auth. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so grateful that you're here. I'll introduce Allison a little more fully in a moment, but just to remind people that please, if you have questions, please submit them to the email that's in the bottom of the show notes. There's also a place where you can leave a voice message, so we really appreciate those. The voice messages are actually incredibly easy for me to answer, really appreciating them. So thank you for those of you who are submitting questions, and please continue to do so. It's wonderful to hear from you all. So Allison is a writer and a blogger who lives in Denver, and her husband and five children. After graduating from Franciscan University at Steubenville, she worked in youth ministry and marriage prep until dedicating herself to homeschooling her children. Having gone through five postpartum experiences, she's passionate about sharing her knowledge and bringing hope to those struggling in their vocation as in motherhood. And I thank you so much for that, because what I found is reading through your material, there's a frankness and a rawness to what you share that I think is uncommon. And I think that mothers really need to understand that other mothers are going through the same thing, and you've been through quite a journey, and your journey led you to write a book. So we'll get into that in a moment. But the rawness of your sharing is profound, and I think that many people benefit from hearing where you were, because those are the kind of the things we keep in the silence of our hearts, and we shouldn't, you know, we should be able to share so that we can get help and move forward in our lives. So thank you so much for your really opening up of your soul to benefit other mothers. It's a really beautiful gift you've given. So I was wondering if maybe you could just first tell us a little bit about your family, and then we can get into your journey and what led you there.
So, like right now?
Yeah. Where's your family at the moment? Yes.
Yes. Okay, great. My oldest is 11 and a half. And then he's a boy. And then my girl Lily, she just turned 10 recently. Nice. And then I have an 8-year-old and then another birthday. So I have a 6-year-old and almost 2-year-old.
Okay, nice.
And it's boy, girl, boy.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a nice tiny pattern.
Yeah.
Yes, like exactly. We did the three girls, then the three boys, then a girl.
That's
if I'd had more. Who knows? Okay. That's lovely. Well, I'd like to begin actually by sharing a little bit of a letter that's off your website. The letter is long and I would like to read the whole thing, but I would like more to actually just talk with you. But I think the first couple of paragraphs of this letter are so powerful and I'll probably cry. I cry easily, as my listeners know.
So we can
just cry together.
Okay, we'll cry. Yes.
You write, "Dear sisters in Christ, the moment my motherhood changed was when my fourth child was 11 months old. The other kids were 6, 5, and 3. We were all in the kitchen when I lost it on them for what seemed like the 100th time that morning. And then I saw it, the look of fear in their eyes. I realized my children were afraid of me. On the outside, I was hanging in there, but on the inside, I felt like I was slowly dying. I was constantly exhausted, and my brain was always foggy. Inside me was this smoldering volcano of rage, threatening to erupt at any moment, over spilled water on the floor, or a toddler who couldn't find their shoes. Fueling the rage were feelings of anxiety and fear, and at that moment in the kitchen proved to me that I was no longer in control of any of these emotions." This is a powerful statement. And I won't read the whole next paragraph, but you said, "While looking at the fear in my children's eyes, grace broke through, and I realized I needed help." Right? And you obviously responded to that moment of grace. And what I would like to first know is, what did that feel like when grace broke through? Here you are, kind of in the pit of motherhood, you know, in a sense, you're having one of probably the lowest days of the many low days that we can experience as mothers. But you realize your children are afraid of you. What did it feel like for the grace to break through? Could you share that with us?
Yeah, I think what it was in that moment was an initial realization that something needs to change, that this isn't okay. This isn't the mother that I want to be or dreamed of being. And like, it has to end. This isn't okay. And so I just see that as a defining moment of being aware of looking for the steps that need to change. And it was from there, through, you know, different events or conversations with people, that I was connected to like all the stages that I talk about in my book, beginning really with that physical recovery and, you know, having a doctor's visit and getting into some therapy. And shortly after that, joining like a new women's group that I think was really pivotal as well. So, I mean, there are all these different aspects, but what I think I realized in that moment is I need to start somewhere. So, so I made myself a doctor's appointment at where I go. It's actually Catholic doctors, which is great. And so I was just in there sobbing and saying, "Here's what's going on." And so that was the start.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And I think that, I think that all mothers feel this sometimes. I think we all go through phases where we feel this, but I think I sense, being in contact with a lot of young moms, that more and more it's becoming chronic, that we don't just feel this way sometimes when we're having a particularly bad day or we haven't had a very good night's sleep for a few nights or whatever, but that we're kind of living in this place of chronic anxiety and chronic stress at a place in our life when we would hope that we would be able to find joy in a difficult season. We can all acknowledge it's a difficult season. You know, people from time immemorial have been telling us that, but that it should be so difficult that we feel like we're going insane, you know, and I think that's where many people find themselves, not just occasionally, but chronically. Right. And what I have gleaned from your book is that, so the name of your book is Baby and Beyond, which came out a couple of years ago. And that's beautiful. And so how we got connected was I gather you were listening to the podcast and then, no, thank you. And that, you know, you were going to, that you sent me that you had written this book and, you know, it sounded like a great fit for my listeners. So I read through, no, I haven't read the entire book, but I read through great swaths of it. and, you know, to kind of get a sense of where you're going. And essentially, what you're doing is from a very fundamental perspective. You're sharing your journey from this dark, dark place where you were. And your journey is both like a journey always is, if we can acknowledge it, is both emotional, physical, spiritual. But what I just heard you say was that you kind of started from a very physical level, like what do I need to do first, which to me makes a lot of sense, right? Yeah. So what did that look like in terms of, okay, I'm where am I at physically? Did your doctor help you through that, or what did you start to examine your physical well-being?
Yeah. So I made an appointment with a doctor, and it was there. I think they gave me, now I can't remember the name of it, but the postpartum depression test. And I was, I can't remember if at that point I was borderline or I definitely was, you know, right there. And so they said, here are your options.
Right.
And then they did a lot of blood work as well. And so something else that showed up was just low vitamin levels. Vitamin D was extremely low, things like that. And so I'm realizing that there's this nutrition piece. And then I'm realizing that, like, they suggested, oh, you could take an antidepressant, you could do some counseling. And what I was feeling is like this, that constant ball of rage that I mm-hmm. wrote about, it was just always there mm-hmm. simmering, and little things could just set it off. And so, like, I was just in such a bad place that I did start with the antidepressant. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I'll just interject here because I think, you know, we can be a little bit testy about, you know, oh, well, you know, do we really need to start with medication? But sometimes we're too far gone and it's a stepping stone to wellness. And, you know, I mean, I'm not an advocate of being medicated when it's not necessary, but there are times in our life when I think that that can be a really useful tool to get us past where we are. And it sounds like for you that became a really valuable tool to move you forward and be able to get help that you needed, right?
Yeah. And so I think exactly what you said. I think if we're just handing out medication as like, this is going to fix all your problems, you know, that's not going to work. But it was just, how do I get, you know, a baseline, how to get a handle on things so I know even where to go from here. So I was on them for about a year and a half, I think. And then I was able to wean off. And then I've never been on them since, even with having a second, a fifth pregnancy and postpartum after that. It was very different from the first four, I think, really putting into use everything that I've learned. But for me, and at that point, it was a stepping stone. To greater healing, to look at the other things. So that was just, the starting point.
So what were the biggest pieces that you put in place in terms of just getting to a baseline level of physical wellness? So from where you were to somewhere that you could now function and move forward and start dealing with the physical, with the emotional, with the spiritual, with those other things in your life. What were the big components of physical wellness that stepped you up?
Yeah. So it was right around that time as well that a friend had told me about like a postpartum recovery course for fixing diastasis recti and things like that. And so we signed up together, and it was while I was watching this intro video, and I just started bawling because I felt like she was describing exactly what I was feeling. I just felt so disconnected with my body. I was just angry at my body for not fitting back into my clothes and for not being able to stand up straight and just to be, you know, so tired all the time. And so I felt like I wasn't even in a place where I was kind to my body, and maybe hadn't been for a while. And I can speak to that in a minute as far as like just, well, the rest piece is very hard when you have a newborn.
Yes.
But, you know, just with your expectations of what that time should look like and being able to rest and listen to your body when it's telling you to rest, or just taking it easy. Like, I just thought, well, I have to get rid of this belly. Let's just do a bunch of plank crunches. And so it wasn't like this gentle recovery. So I found that postpartum course really helped me to reconnect with my body, do some strengthening exercises, learn what my pelvic floor was, because I had never even heard that term before, and realizing, you know, how important that it is. And so I think beginning those exercises, seeing the doctor, starting to take better and more regular mm-hmm. supplements, looking at my diet, those I think are the main things. And just trying to just be aware of the ways that I can fit a little bit of exercise in, like a brisk walk or
fresh air,
like that is enough. Yeah. You know, I'm not an athlete. I'm not even sure I've ever run a mile in my life without stopping to, you know, walk or catch my breath. So I'm not coming and speaking, you know, as someone with this great physical training. You know, I'm just saying if I can do it, anybody can. Right?
Well, I have to say this because like my listeners can't see you. We can see each other, but my listeners can't see us. But like, you're so beautiful. And you're so, you just look like a beacon of health. And it's so hard to imagine you hating your body, you hating yourself. It's just so hard to imagine because you just look, you're just so lovely, right? And you just exude loveliness. And so, you know, I mean, other people around you might have had a hard time even understanding that you were going through a difficult time. I'm guessing, right? I mean, you probably look physically better now because you're taking care of yourself. But did you have people around you noticing that you weren't well?
Not really. And that was something that came up because I had been in this mom's group. I'd been leading it for a number of years. And I did have people from that group say after the book came out, Allison, I had no idea that you were struggling so much.
Yeah.
But I think like that mom's group was so beautiful and so good and such a lifeline at that time. But at the same time, and this is, I think, a big struggle, is without that intimacy and that vulnerability and that really sense of strong community, you just look at everyone else and think, they're not struggling. They're doing it so much better than I. They've got it together. Yeah. They're just a way better parent. And you just listen to all these things. And then you just go into these dark places because you think I'm the only one struggling.
Did you have people share that they were struggling also when after you kind of came out with, you know?
Oh, yes. I think the feedback, even from the book, has been just really, really well received in the fact that so many moms have said, I'm just grateful that I don't feel like I'm alone. Yeah. Just feeling like they're not crazy for struggling in this way.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Would you be able to share the name of the postpartum recovery program that you used? You know, in case I have listeners who are kind of in the same place who think that would be positive.
Yeah, there's a plethora of them online right now. I haven't checked them all out, but the one I started with was Mutu, and that definitely helped in a lot of ways. Actually, the journey never ends, right? It keeps continuing. I'm just about to start pelvic floor physical therapy in person. I felt like I kind of exhausted the online. I went to a clinic a few months ago and realized I still can't stand up straight. In some ways that I've been healed, but in other ways, like all of your muscles that are connected to your pelvic floor, like my hips are just really tight. I can't stand up straight. So just please help me. So, you know, it's like as you learn more and you grow more and, you know, I'm in a place to do that now.
Yeah. And I mean, you have to put the big building blocks in place before you even notice that there's a problem, right?
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if I've shared this on the podcast, but 18 months ago, I broke my rib one summer and 2 weeks later, I got a concussion. And I didn't recognize that I had a concussion until November because life was busy. I was dealing with a broken rib, which was incredibly painful. You know, and I knew I fell on my head, but like the rib was all consuming. And it wasn't until sort of things started to go away that I could recognize that, you know, there's a problem here, you know, but I just couldn't, I had to peel away the layers. Right. And so, you know, you can't get to that place where, okay, what do I do about not being able to stand up straight until you've taken some very basic steps in health, right? I know my daughter uses an exercise program that's for pregnancy, postpartum, you know, geared at mothers as well. I don't remember the name of it right now, but I'll pop those, yours and this one, in the show notes as well, just because I think it's really good for people to have options. I know my daughter's really appreciated this woman and kind of how she helps you care for your body, right? I think we're often afraid to sort of share our deepest hurts and anxieties and concerns and dark places. We're really, you know, we're afraid to do that. And you know, I think your book is a place that people could go easily and just think, okay, I'm not alone. I'm not crazy. This is a real thing. And people are really suffering in this way. And I'm one of them, right? Is there you or a group or a place that people can reach out to if they feel like they need one-on-one support, like if they need to go beyond the book to get support? Is there, you know, do you have a support network? I guess that's what I'm getting at.
I don't. I think that is something that really, really could use some help, yeah, especially in the, yeah, church. Or you could have this in spiritual encouragement, yeah, as well as, you know, with the vocation and all the practical things as well. And, I don't think there is a large network. I'm happy. That's why I have Instagram.
Yeah.
People could message.
Okay.
Me,
that's great.
And I'd be happy to talk to them and encourage them. I think community is so important,
so
as
vital.
I said before.
Yeah.
I think that's such a huge piece. And for me, it was so healing to be part of a group of women that were praying, mm-hmm, together regularly, that were sharing together regularly. A number of us now, we homeschool together by doing a lot of, you know, mm-hmm, feast days and themed, you know, activities together. And it's just that living in community, that knowing that whatever you're sharing, somebody else has been through, mm-hmm, that's just so healing to know that you're in this together. Yeah. And so one thing that I do recommend to people is to just invite a few others to live in community, mm-hmm, with them. I mean, there doesn't have to be any official program or anything, yeah, like that, to just say, hey, let's meet on Thursday, yeah, nights, and we can go to the chapel for a little bit, and then we can just share what God's doing in, mm-hmm, our lives. And it's such a simple format.
Have a wiener roast in the backyard. Like, whatever, you know, yeah, us too. Our everything, yeah, we do is very informal. And I think that's why it's such a functional, why I live in such a functional community is, that everything's very sort of informal and people just, you know, put it out there. But also that the community, all the individuals in the community are truly striving for holiness, right? And then you know you're part of a real community, right? When you understand that we're all striving for holiness, we're all failing every day, but we're all striving for holiness, right? And it's just so vital. But yeah, you know, if you don't have a community, that's the way to start. Just invite people over, right? Or if you don't feel comfortable at your house, then to a park or something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We meet in the room, yeah, at the church. You know, so there's lots of ways to do it, but there's just so much fruit from, like, even when somebody is sick or after you've had, mm-hmm, a baby, and, you know, people are there to help, yeah, you. Or, you know, I had one of my close friends after Paul, my fifth, was born. This was after the book came out. And she was just like, I want you to call me, you know, every other day. And there was just like verbalizing those fears and those, yeah, struggles, just getting them out of my mind and received by somebody else, really just made, mm-hmm, a huge difference right there. So whether it's with a counselor, yeah, or a trusted friend, just being able to verbalize those things, and then you can recognize the fears and the lies that get twisted, mm-hmm, in there with everything else.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I think we're, like I said before, afraid to share, you know, sort of our really dark anxieties. And sometimes, you know, we are afraid, I think, to overshare. So if we're in a community of women and we're not particularly close, maybe we're, you know, pretty close to all of them, but there isn't somebody who stands out as like a really safe person to confide in about where you're at, you know, you feel that will make them nervous or that they will be uncomfortable with the conversation or whatever, then yeah, get counseling for sure, right? And I think that if we do have something difficult to share, and we're not sure if a person is in a place to receive, that if we can ask that question, I'm really struggling with something. I don't know if you will be okay. Because sometimes the person's struggling themselves, and the burden would be too much to also sort of receive what you're struggling through. But we can say that to somebody and give them the freedom to say yes or no. If there isn't somebody that you can talk to, then absolutely, you know, get counseling. And there's some very inexpensive options now for counseling, which is great, you know, and sometimes there's even people within our churches that will offer counseling, you know, free or inexpensively, which is, you know, that's huge, right? And great place to start.
Yeah, just being, yes, absolutely.
At what point sort of your, I mean, we can't separate these things, so it's not a nice, tidy, you know, oh, first I took care of the spiritual stuff, then I took care of the emotional stuff. It just doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
But at what right. point did you feel like you could start delving into what kind of your emotional wellness?
Yeah, I mean, that's all, it was kind of always there in the background, but I think especially we didn't touch much on the supplements, but I think that's the biggest feedback that I get from women is, wow, what a difference it makes to just have good nutrition. So I think when you, so sometimes we know we're depleted. So let me back up. So when we're pregnant, our baby is formed from all the nutrients in our body. And so we are just giving everything to our baby and we get whatever's left. And if there's not much left, then we become depleted. So that word depletion just means that you don't have enough nutrients for your body to function properly. And especially if you're nursing afterwards, you just keep giving your baby more of the good stuff, which is great for them, but not so great for you. And so I think while nutrition is really important for postpartum depression as well, and that's, you know, very serious, and I think it's been getting a lot more attention, but I think this idea of depletion, mm-hmm. that we're just walking around with not enough mm-hmm. of what we have, really resonates with a lot of women. I think it's very common in the majority of us. And so things like vitamin B and vitamin D and, you know, essential fatty acids, and just by taking like a good quality mm-hmm. supplement, over time, I've noticed the clarity in my mind, the feeling of being able to wake up rested, mm-hmm. Or just the ability to have the energy to make it through the day, and just like this less anxiety because my body is working the way it's supposed to. So, so I think like that was a good place mm-hmm. to start. And then once I started feeling better from there, like I've always had, you know, a prayer time, but I feel like when I had all of these small kids at home, it wasn't what I had looked like because I had used to work in ministry and work for the church.
Right.
And, you know, I had this way of doing things and this way of praying and I thought I was so great. And then I had babies and I'm like, I don't know how to do anything. This is all overwhelming. And God is probably mad at me because I'm not doing a good job. And I think it was, you know, through prayer, and then I found a spiritual director a couple of years ago, and just going through these things to realize that God isn't mad mm-hmm. at me for failing or for what I even perceive as a failure. What he wants to do is enter into mm-hmm. life with me and live all of these moments. And so it was having this breakdown where I feel like God was breaking me open and being able to transform me through that experience. Mm-hmm. And just really show me that he loves me in the mess and that his mercy is enough, and it's enough for my kids. And so there was one prayer experience that I talk about in the book, and I was just like, Lord, can I see myself the way you mm-hmm. see me? And I had this image of this like really ugly, gnarly branch just wrapped around my spine and slowly squeezing me
right.
till I was suffocating. And what I realized that those were the lies of the devil, that I was doing a horrible job, that I was alone, that I would never be good enough, that God is disappointed in me. And it was being able to realize those were the lies and then renounce those lies that gave a lot of freedom into letting God into those places. And then there was another experience in the book, which I don't have the verse in front of me. But where St. Paul says, the Lord says to St. Paul, my grace mm-hmm. is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And I was like, well, Lord, I've got a lot of weakness to offer you.
Exactly.
So I know that you can work with that. But really, like when we are full of ourself, there's no room for God mm-hmm. to work. And I think I see this in my homeschooling mm-hmm. a lot as well, when I just think, well, this is the way it has to be done. This is the way we have to do it. And that's what we're going to do no matter what. We're just going to stick to the schedule and make everybody suffer. You know, but those times come along where it's like, Lord, this isn't going the way that I planned. And he's like, okay, well, now that you're empty, and I'm like, I've got nothing to give my kids. And he's like, now I can fill you and help you. And so there's this difference between like, God, look at what a great what a great job I'm doing versus, Lord, I need you to help me. And I would much rather have God being the one to be guiding my life and my homeschool than myself. Yes. And so it's really this like mind shift, this transformation of how I see myself and how I see my work is not being able to do it perfectly, but just to do it with the Lord, and then he can fill in the gaps. So those were a couple of those pivotal moments that helped change the way that I see things.
I'm going to share with you a pivotal moment that I had in my, when I was really in the trenches, because it's reminding me of what you were saying, reminded me of this particular moment in my life where I was at Mass and I had 5 kids and I was expecting the 6th. And so my toddler was climbing all over me and climbing over my big belly and climbing. And I was just like, I can't do this. You know, I can't do this. And kids are squirming everywhere. And it was at the moment of the consecration and Father was saying the words of consecration. And this is a bizarre thing. Okay. This was a really mystical, I haven't had very many mystical experiences in my life, but this felt very mystical. This sort of light was swirling around the host, right, at the words of consecration. And this voice in my head said, this is my body. And then the light, I was sitting in the front pew, and this light came swirling towards me and swirled around my annoying toddler. And the voice said, and this is my body. Right. And it was this moment of God saying, you know what? How you treat him, how you see him, how you think about him is how you treat and think about me. I mean, we know this from scripture, but it's really hard to tap into that when your 2-year-old is squirming and, you know, climbing over your pregnant belly. It's hard to remember. Remembering is the hardest part, right? Yeah. Always.
Yes.
And
always.
And it was just, but it was this moment of grace that I can't tell you how many hundreds of times I've thought about it in my life, kind of often, even with teenagers, often when I've, you know, that person's really irritating me or being sassy or whatever, and I'm thinking negative things. And then it's like, okay, I have to treat him as Christ. Christ is present in him. You know, and I mean, we just have to think about that every day of our life, really, that God is with us and sometimes we're yelling at him, you know, and that's not a good thing, you know, so, and he's not mad at us when we do it. He's all merciful. And so what a beautiful thing, you know, our kids might react to that, but Christ doesn't. You know, he just takes us where we're at. And as soon as we're in a place where we're willing to just lean on him, he allows us to. And he's just this beacon of strength and mercy and goodness, right? It's a win.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. I had a prayer experience where I visualized Jesus knocking at my door and he was unexpected. Right. So I let him into the house and I'm like looking around and making sure he's cleaned up. And so, you know, he's like opening the different doors in the house and thankfully the bathroom was tidy and stuff like that. But we get to our bedroom and he opens the door and there's clothes everywhere. The bed's unmade, there's shoes falling out of the closet. And I'm just horrified because it's so messy. And he doesn't say anything. He just starts cleaning up my room. And then he lays down on my bed. He's like, Allison, I want to be close to you. Like, I want to do everything with you. I want to be with you in those little moments. And that's what, you know, really the bottom line is that God desires intimacy with us, not perfection. He wants to be a part of all those little moments where your toddler is climbing over your pregnant belly, you know, or your child is frustrated with reading or doing his chores. Yeah. And he's there in those moments. And if we're allowing God into the messiness of our hearts in those frustrating and difficult times, he can transform that and he can transform us. And I truly believe that it's that witness to our children of his transformation in our lives that is more powerful than, you know, any textbook that we could read to them. And so, so it just starts with us and on our journey in transformation. And the Lord is so patient with us and he's so gentle with us. But we just got to give him a little
room
there.
Yeah. There's something else that I wanted to ask you about that came out of your letter. What was it now? I lost my notes. when you look back on that, like most of us, probably yourself included, still have days, even when we're, you know, 100 times better than we were, we still have moments, we still have days. Yeah. And we tend to, when you practice, when you're practicing to be healthier, to be closer to God, to walk in greater union with Him, we tend to catch ourselves more quickly, right? When we mess up, you know, and this is not a matter of you're not going to mess up anymore. It doesn't go that direction. But what does it feel like sort of when you're back in that place, when you have your dark moments, right? You're sort of out of the dark pit, but you still have your dark moments. What pulls you out of it? You know, what helps you to not stay there?
That is a great question. You know, I was having one of those days the other day, and at the end of the day, I just remember thinking like, oh, Lord.
Oops.
That didn't go well. But tomorrow's a new day where I feel like I used to beat myself up right. And hold on to those things and think like I could never change. But now I'm not surprised. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, like we know we're going to have those days and we just say, Lord, like help me do better mm-hmm. tomorrow. And so just not holding it against yourself and weighing yourself down. So I think some of those like mental shifts and just that reflection at the end of the day, just kind of those good habits help you to remember that we can do better.
Yeah. Tomorrow. Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. I want to just backtrack for a moment to when you were talking about physical health and wellness. I had a podcast episode I did maybe 3 months ago or something. I interviewed the gals from the Freely Rooted podcast who are very all about women's health, and particularly women in their childbearing years, prenatal health and postnatal health and whatever. And if anyone hasn't heard that episode, I would strongly recommend it because they were amazing. I have thought of myself as a pretty healthy person for years, and I'm rethinking some of the things that may have made a difference in my life, you know, at various points, but particularly during the childbearing years. I think that we can sort of overlook those things. So it's just another resource out there. But they also had interviewed, I had been listening to their podcast for quite a while, and they had interviewed another podcaster, and their podcast is called Are You Menstrual? And it's an excellent podcast also all about hormonal health. From a nutritional perspective, that's the goal is through our nutrition, how do we help ourselves the most? And that has been an amazing podcast. And it's very sort of step by step. So the podcast episodes, the first, I don't know, 10 or 12 sort of take you step by step through kind of a protocol of what a sort of a basis of good health is. And it just resonated so much. You know, even though I'm past those years, it just resonated so much. And, you know, one of those things that, wow, if this had been around 20 years ago, you know, I think I could have maximized my health back then. So just putting that out there as a resource for people, because not everybody knows where to turn in terms of, well, what do I take? What do I eat? And there's a lot of conflicting advice out there, you know, and I think that any moves we make towards health, they're always going to benefit us. I had also interviewed the Natural Catholic Mom. I don't know if you heard that episode, but she talks about diet. She talks about cleaning products. She talks about various ways that she improved her life. And she basically said when she was in this place where she needed to start improving her life, that, you know, just every baby step you make is going to be positive. So how long would you say your journey took to the place where you felt like, okay, I've turned a corner, I'm gaining traction, you know, knowing that we two steps forward, one step back. But how long did that take to feel better? And I know there was an immediate response that was amazing, but in terms of sort of steady wellness.
Well, that was the realization, but I think it was a good year. So that year after my fourth Zoe was when I found the postpartum program and I went on the antidepressant and I started some new supplements. And I had gestational diabetes with her, which ended up being a real big blessing in disguise because it really forced me to look at my diet and to start making better choices. And that has been a a really beneficial thing, you know, after that I still eat that way a lot of times. So I would say a year, because she was about, I think she was about a year old when I start the book off talking about in the shower. That's where I love to just think in the shower because I'm alone. And, you know, the water is this white noise and I can just think. And I talk to God a lot. I pray in the shower. And because it was, Zoe was a year, around a year old when I was thinking about all of these things that I had learned that year about reconnecting with my body and having good nutrition and what my pelvic floor was and the importance of community and friendships and working on my marriage and just beginning this deep personal healing that, you know, interior we're talking about. And so I just was marveling about how interconnected all these different pieces were and how it would be so great if there was a resource to like help people have a starting place. And that's when the Lord was like, I think you should write a book.
Wow.
And so so it was a good year of work and all of those.
You know, I'm actually astounded because I would have thought longer. You know, I would have thought that process would be longer. But I think a year would give lots of people hope. And I mean, there's still obviously always room on the journey, right?
Right. It's still continuing. And, you know, if I were to write the book again, it would probably have so many more chapters to it.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think it is what it needed to be for people to have a great place to start.
Did you feel like writing the book was a real opportunity for you to really own and make concrete all these various components?
It was cathartic in a lot of ways, and difficult at some points too, you know, to put that on paper, some things, but at the same time just knowing that it would benefit so many women just made it
And I want to bring this up because I think that this is a really important chapter that you bring up intimacy in your marriage and how challenging that was. And that was one of the things that struck me as, I mean, I think a lot of it is very frank and very raw. You know, and you're really sharing a part of yourself that I don't know that many people want to kind of be that frank with what they're dealing with. But I think, you know, I don't know if there's anybody who hasn't struggled with intimacy, especially postpartum. Like, how do we negotiate this when I'm not feeling good? I'm tired, I'm sore, I'm whatever. But your chapter on intimacy, I think, is really, really valuable for people, again, to know they're not alone, that it's not just them. And probably a valuable chapter for husbands to read if it's an area that you're struggling with and you don't know how to talk to your husband about it, or it's just uncomfortable or whatever. A chapter that you could read and have your husband read, it's short, and just say, okay, here's how I'm feeling. She's put into words what I'm not really able to, you know, and we're feeling so self-conscious and all that with our postpartum body so many times. And, you know, so I think that was a really beautiful chapter and really lovely to see it from in a Catholic context, be very frank and very open and very honest, right? Yeah, so I really appreciate that, and I would encourage people to get the book for the, obviously many reasons, but I felt that was a really excellent chapter. How do I negotiate this difficult moment in my life, wanting intimacy but not wanting intimacy, right?
Yeah, and there's so many good fruits from those struggles.
Absolutely.
Better communicate. Getting some healing through physical therapy or the creams or being on a good probiotic.
Yeah, exactly.
Really help, you know, the therapy. And then also I just think knowing that it's a season and
your husband knowing,
seasons come and go. And that with each child, I feel like we get better at navigating that time and figuring it out and knowing each other. So I think there's a lot of encouragement there for women that it gets better each time because we've learned
exactly
so much each time,
So it's clear to me, you know, from your book, from our conversation here, that you are a person who's going to keep searching, you're going to keep growing, you're going to propel yourself forward, right? Which is a beautiful thing. I would love for you to sort of leave something for my listeners. How do you keep moving forward? How do you keep the kind of maintaining a desire for growth. You know, what is it in you? It's going to be different for different people, I think, but for yourself personally, at your stage of life, which is, you know, where most of my listeners are at, what keeps you moving forward in desire for physical wellness, spiritual wellness, emotional wellness? What keeps you moving forward?
I think, you know, having had a relationship with God that's deepened so much recently, I think that wanting that mm-hmm. relationship to continue is part of it. I think I have a wonderful spiritual director right now that is really, I know this isn't the case. He's like doing counseling and spiritual direction with me. We are going to really deep places in my heart, and it's hard and beautiful. And I have seen the most fruit hands down from this time of doing that. And then I think my community, you know, that we are praying and sharing and living life together, and our kids are playing together, and our husbands are in a group together. And so just that community, that encouragement from them keeps us moving forward.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So that's just,
thank you for that. I love that. I know when we moved into a Catholic community, that was one of the things that we noticed more than anything, was that our marriage improved, simply because we were around marriages that we valued and marriages that were working towards holiness. And just that alone, not even that we weren't even really discussing it, just the fact that we had good example around us, you can't help but improve, yeah. right? Or if you see disciplinary yep. methods or whatever, can't help but improve, right? Yeah. So thank you so much for all of this. And I know my listeners are going to really appreciate this conversation, for you making yourself available to them. So Instagram is sort of your main platform.
I don't post
okay.
a lot.
That's okay.
I'm not on there a lot, doing a lot of stuff, but I keep it so that way people can.
Okay. That's great. And what's your Instagram handle?
That's a great way. I think it's Baby and
okay.
Beyond Book.
Okay, that's great. And it's available through Sophia Press, and where else? Can on Amazon?
You can get okay, on great. Amazon as well, but it's a lot cheaper.
Okay, interesting. That's weird. It's weird sometimes. thank you again, Allison. This is beautiful. And keep in touch. We'll love to see what you're going to produce next.
Well, I joke that my next book will be about fertility.
beautiful. Well, okay, so God bless. Have a lovely evening.